If you were here last week, then you know we began our fall focus on some of the middle chapters of Acts. And we're doing this because we understand that we're a people who've been sent. Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations." And the first account of people doing that is in the book of Acts. And so the Lord gives us a story of how they went about that, which helps us understand how we're to go about that. I mean, the fact that the Lord has said, go, doesn't exactly tell us where to go, does it? How can we know specifically what direction to head? Can the Lord be more specific than that? Well, actually, He can and does, as we'll see today as we read in Acts chapter 16. The Lord got very specific with Paul and his buddies about where He did not want them to go and where He did want them to go. We'll be reading where we left off last time, Acts 16, beginning at verse 6. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord, it's Your Word. You inspired Luke as he wrote it. We trust that You'll be here to inspire us as we hear it and encourage us as we respond. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts 16, beginning at verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how long have you been using a GPS? 10 years, 15 years now? Most of us have actually moved on from a GPS to the GPS on our phones. It hasn't taken us very long to get totally dependent on these little magic boxes. I mean, talk to someone about north, south, east, and west, and their eyes kind of glaze over. Because we're so used to these step-by-step instructions. And when you stop to think about it, this whole business of getting directions from a little box is kind of funny. And it's actually spawned a lot of humor. I found some funny pictures of this. In case you can't read, it says, "My GPS has learned to say your other left." Think about it. Recalculating. There we go. You say arrival time, I hear time to beat. Do I have a witness? Any guys here? Oh, there's some gals too. Okay. I think that's funny just because it's true. Actually, this whole business of getting and giving directions is kind of funny when you think about the interactions you have giving people directions. And today's story has not a single electronic device in it. But it's about directions received and acted upon. And it's funny. Now, this is a map of part of Paul's second missionary journey. And to orient you to what you're looking at western Turkey and the Roman provinces that were there. Once you start tracing Paul and his gang's path on the map, you begin to see the humor in this story. As they were in Antioch of Pisidia, which is just to the right of center on that map. And the most natural route for them from there would have been to head sort of west-southwest down the river valley toward Laodicea. That was sort of the main highway of the day, and eventually on to Ephesus on the coast. But all of those towns were in the Roman province of Asia. That's the pink on your map. And Acts reports that the Holy Spirit had already told them, "I don't want you ministering now in Asia." So they knew that that was not the direction they were supposed to go. So they turned north. And they walked. And they walked. Probably 2 or 3 weeks of walking, and all the while they're waiting on some more specific direction. They're stepping out in faith without knowing where they're going. You know, after some long walking days, they were bound to be asking themselves if they had missed the turn. I mean, you know how that is. When you're traveling and you're looking for the next turn and you go farther than you think you should have gone, you start wondering, don't you? You think, did I miss that? I mean, we even do this with the GPS. If we haven't heard the soothing voice from the GPS in a good while, we're wondering, did we miss it? And that's how, I have to believe that's how it was for Paul and company. They're walking and they keep walking and they keep walking and they start wondering, did we miss it? Did the Lord tell us something and we just didn't hear it? So that's where they were, but what else were they going to do? They kept walking. And when they got a good ways north and still had not heard more from the Lord, they decided maybe we should head off toward the northeast into Bithynia. Now that's the light green on the map there, to the northeast. But again, the Lord prevented them from going where He did not want them to go. And so Acts writes that the Spirit of Jesus did not let them. So how did that happen? Well, I wish Luke had told us. Maybe it was a prophetic word, maybe it was some sort of inner sense, but they knew that the Lord had forbade them to go northeast. And since the ocean was north of them, they didn't have many options except to turn west. So that's what they did. They turned toward Troas over on the left side of your map. Of course, Troas was actually in Asia too, so there wasn't ministry there to be done. It looked kind of like a dead end, but that's all they had to go on. So that's the way they went. Sound like any of your experiences? Funny, right? Well, not while you're in it. It's not funny then. You're driving down this long road to somewhere, and you're not quite sure where you're going, and it's not funny at all. It's kind of anxious. And you're wanting some guidance on how you're going to get there. And sometimes it works the same way when we're asking God's guidance. We're going, but we're not hearing. And we've asked. And we're waiting. And we're wondering if we're on the right road. Maybe it's something like, Lord, do you want me to take that other job or not? I need some guidance here. And you're not hearing. Or, Lord, they've asked me to teach that adult class, and it kind of scares me. Is this something I'm really called to? I need some clarity here. Give me some direction. Or, Lord, I've reached out to my sister again and again, and I'm not getting anywhere. Am I on the right track? Is this what you want me to do? We say these things, don't we? We're asking for direction. And we'd like to know that we're on the right road. And sometimes we find ourselves wandering. I mean, it happens relationally. It happens professionally. It happens spiritually. Know this. At some point, you will get where God was guiding you all along. And once you're there, kind of like once Paul and Silas and Timothy got to Macedonia and looked back on the wandering moments, it's kind of funny. I mean, they could look back on their wandering through that middle section of what we call Turkey, and they could have some laughs about that, but while you're there, it's not funny. We know that eventually God's going to get us where He wants us to go. But while we're still wandering along the way, we want some next steps. And we want to know from the Lord that it's not just some sort of nonsense kicking around in our mind as we feel prompted to go this way or that way. We want to know that it's Him prompting us. And we surely don't want to be deceived by the evil one who would send us off course. We want to know that we're hearing from the Lord. Now, those are the same kinds of questions that Paul and his crew had to deal with. And so I think just this little snippet of the story can be instructive for us as those who also are making our way along, seeking His direction. So as we're traveling along, let's learn some travel tips from those who've gone before. Travel tip number one. If you want to make sure you're hearing the Lord's directions, start with your heart, not your ears. If you want to make sure you're hearing the Lord's directions, start with your heart, not your ears. And here's what a lot of us tell ourselves. We say to ourselves, if I knew what God had wanted me to do, I would do it. But that's not really the whole story. In fact, it's more like, I'm going to decide whether or not I want to do what I sense God is telling me to do after He tells me a little more specifically. Now that sounds presumptuous when we say it out loud. But you see, we don't say it out loud. We just assume it. We assume that we can say, on the one hand, He's Lord of my life, and on the other hand, I'll decide whether I'm going to do what He tells me to do once I hear what He tells me. Of course that doesn't make sense. But we don't really stop to think about it. Now, if you would forgive me for stating the obvious, when you signed on with Jesus as Lord, it's not like He gave you a detail of everything that you would experience with Him along the way. You signed on because you realized that He loves you and that He has grace for you, and so you signed. But other than the grace and the love, you might say that the contract was blank. And you signed on, and then He starts filling it in. You said, Jesus, You are Lord. Which was saying to Him, I will do what You tell me to do when You tell me to do it. But you see, we don't think very clearly about that sometimes, and so we'll say He's Lord, and yet we have this posture of waiting to decide. I'll decide once I hear what it is. Oh, and by the way, Lord, I know that You've already told me some things in the Scripture that I'm doing my best to ignore, that You've made perfectly clear that this is what You expect of me, but I'm just kind of acting like I didn't hear it. And then we wonder why we're not hearing the Lord. The problem's not with the ears. The problem's with the heart. So start with your heart, and it's amazing how well the ears will do. Travel tip number two. Spend time with the Lord so that you'll become familiar with His voice. This is the image that Jesus used in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He's describing Himself like a shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. In those days, sheep weren't contained in separate barbed wire fields, each flock to its own. They were open range. And so they would be put in the fold at night and released to go and forage during the day. And so flocks would meld one with the other. But the shepherds weren't worried about getting their own sheep back because they spent time with their sheep, and the sheep knew each one, each flock of sheep knew its shepherd's voice. And so when its shepherd called, they went to their shepherd. And Jesus, having seen this, uses this as an example for people who saw this happen. They understood this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now what the shepherd is presuming is that we the sheep spend time with Him so that we know His voice, so that when He speaks we recognize. You do that when you read the Scripture. You're getting your ear accustomed to the voice of God. The Word of God forms the way you hear so that when you hear something, you begin to understand that's the kind of thing that God would say. And sometimes He speaks more specifically than that. For example, here in this story, Paul and Silas and Timothy could not derive God's direction to them, don't go to Asia. There was nowhere in the Old Testament that was telling them that. I mean, there was a lot they could derive from their Bible, the Old Testament, about what God would tell them, but not, don't go to Asia right now. Don't go to Bithynia right now. The Lord spoke specifically to them. So He speaks through His Word. He gives us ears to hear what kinds of things he says through his word, but then he also has a capacity to speak more specific directions. And sometimes he does that with us. He'll say something like, don't take that job, take this one. That's a pretty big decision, and sometimes the Lord will speak to us about that. Or he'll say, I'm calling you to get going again with your singing gifts. Oh, okay. He speaks, and since he's the shepherd and we're his sheep, it's well that we listen. And it's by listening, by spending time with him day in and day out, that we get familiar with his voice. When you have your prayer time in the morning or the evening, whenever it is you have your prayer time, go ahead and tell God the things you need to tell him. Thank him. Confess sin. Speak to him of your requests. But come up for air. Be quiet. And listen. And wait for him to speak. It's how you become familiar with his voice. Sometimes journaling helps with this, where you can slowly write out your prayers and then write what you would think God would answer you. And you'll be amazed the ways the Lord begins to prompt you as you converse with him in such a way. As we do this kind of conversational prayer with God, we're like sheep. We grow familiar with the shepherd's voice. And more, he's able to catch our ear. Travel tip number 3. Sorry about all you Cowboys fans. If it's a matter of any substance, check with your traveling buddies to make sure you're hearing right. Think of this like a football huddle where the coach sends in plays. And so the quarterback says, I think this is what the coach is calling us to run. Am I hearing right? This is basically what Paul and his crew did. They had some direction already. Don't go to Asia. Don't go to Bithynia. And then the divine coach called a play, as it were, through a vision that he gave Paul in the night. And in that vision, a man from Macedonia beckoned to Paul and said, come help us. Now, if you know your geography, Macedonia is over in Greece. So it's Asia on the Turkey side and Europe on the Greece side and some water between and a lot of different culture in between. Macedonia? That's over in Europe. No one was thinking about crossing over to Europe at this point, but the divine coach called a play, you might say, that no one was thinking about that. He'll do that. And it's one of the reasons we check with our teammates to make sure we're hearing right. Because he does have a way of directing us in unexpected directions. Now look how this worked. You got to read carefully here just to notice what's happening. We went because we were convinced that God had called us to proclaim good news to them. It doesn't say we went because Paul told us this is where we're going. It says we went because we were convinced. Now, how did we get into this? The vision was given to Paul. The reason we got into it is because Paul checked signals with his crew. And once the crew was convinced, oh, this is from God, well, that's the direction they headed. We need this kind of teamwork, especially when we're dealing with some kind of visionary experience. If the Lord appears to you and speaks to you, it's well to check out what you heard with some of your Christian friends. Or even if it's just an inner nudge and inside, if it's something of significance in your life, if it's a big life decision, it's well to check out what you're hearing. This is how our church is governed, actually. The elders of our church gather and check out the sense of what God is calling us to do. And so one elder may say, I think God's calling us to take such and such a direction. And the others then discuss and pray until they're sure that this is what God is calling them to do. So don't just rely on your own ears. Check out what you think God is prompting you with your friends in the faith. And then travel tip number 4. know that even if you know the voice, and even if you check signals with your teammates and come to some good certainty, it's still going to be a step of faith. That's how it was for Paul. They had to step out. I mean, they checked with each other. They came to some sense of certainty that, yeah, this is what God has called us to do, but, you know, it wasn't written in the sky. They had to step out in faith. Paul describes this kind of thing in his second letter to the Corinthians. He said, in this life, we walk by faith, not by sight. And this was an example of how Paul had experienced that himself. He has this vision of someone in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so they pray and discuss and say, yeah, we think that's God. But I can tell you this was a big step. To leave where they'd been and the culture that was familiar and to take the gospel all the way across the ocean there and into a different culture was a big step. And they had to be trusting God to take that step of faith. It works the same with us. Let me give you an example of how this works during the Sundays when we have our monthly ministry of prayer. If you've been here on one of these Sundays, you'll know that we invite the prayer ministers for the day to listen for what they sense the Lord is doing on a particular Sunday. And some of them will stand up before we begin our prayer time, and they'll report what they sense the Spirit is prompting them to report. We call it a word of knowledge. We're using some terminology that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 12 to describe the spiritual gift that works like this, that prompts us in ministry situations to know what direction to go, what the Spirit is up to that day. And so someone will stand up and say, I believe that the Lord wants to heal someone with chronic headaches today. That was the sense they had from the Lord. Or someone will stand up and say, I believe the Lord wants to release someone who's been having night terrors. Now, some of you have done that. Some of you have stood and reported that sense of what you believe God was doing in that particular healing service. And if you've done that, then you know it's a step of faith. You think you heard what the Lord was telling you. And here you're going to stand up in public before all these people and risk speaking that word. It's a step of faith. It definitely doesn't feel like an absolute certainty. It feels like a step of faith, which is what it was like for Paul and his crew as they set sail from Troas over to Macedonia. Now that's all the travel tips for today. Let me go back through these. Travel tip number one, start with your heart, not your ears. Travel tip number two, become familiar with his voice. Travel tip number three, particularly on the big matters, check with your buddies in the faith to make sure you're hearing right. And travel tip number four, know up front that it will be a step of faith. There's going to be some risk involved. I want to tell you one short story about hearing the Lord, and I want to tell this particular story because it had to do with a GPS. Almost a year ago now, Sarah and I got a call one afternoon from Dorothy and Brandon that she had gone into labor with her third child. So we hopped in the car and scooted down to Jacksonville, North Carolina, 4 hours away. And we got there in time to meet Miss Sarah Beth Hood on her first day in this world. And Sarah was going to stay there in Jacksonville and help out for a few days with the family, and I needed to get back. So I caught the bus back the next day, and since I had these hours on the bus and I needed to have a prayer retreat anyway, I thought I'll just use the bus ride as my prayer retreat. So I'm sitting there with my journal in my lap, and I'm looking out the window and kind of writing meandering thoughts, conversation with the Lord in my journal. And I'm a couple seats behind the driver, and the driver's using a GPS. And he goes through one of the little towns there, and the GPS tells him to turn one way, and he doesn't do it. And I notice this, and I hear the GPS say, recalculating. And so all of a sudden I've got my attention on this, and then this is what I think the Lord said to me. Let me read to you what my notes were. That's how it works with my directions to you. It's not like you have missed it entirely if you miss one of my prompts to you. I'm more than able to bring you back onto my course. I do recalculate in my directions to my servants. So do hear, do listen, do obey, but don't be anxious about missing a prompt. None of my servants make every turn right. And then some time passed, and I heard the GPS say something else. Continue on this route. And so I wrote, Father, I'd really like to hear that from you. I'd like to hear you say you're on the right route. And then the Lord spoke to me again, and this is what I wrote. Count this as an assurance that I have you on route. Despite some wrong turns, you're on route. Trust me, I have not lost my voice. As you continue to attend more readily to my voice, you will hear my prompts. Now that's how my GPS conversation went with the Lord that day. And I was encouraged by that. I was particularly encouraged that He does recalculate. When we take a wrong turn, He has a way of bringing us back onto course. And He has not lost His voice. The same way that He spoke to His servants of old, having told them, go to all nations, and then gave them specific directions how to do that, He's still doing the same thing. He's still making specific His broad calling to us to go. He does speak. He does direct. Now, if you know me, you know I'm shameless with puns, and corny puns are just fine with me, and if they've become so common that they're cliches, that's fine too, especially if the cliche works, and this is a corny pun that has become a cliche. GPS, God's positioning system, we've all heard it. He has a plan for where He's taking you, and He has a voice to speak and direct you. You've been sent. And He'll tell you more as you begin to go. So you ready? This is going to be fun. It's going to be funny. And a little bit scary. And very, very good. He has good plans for us and a good calling on our lives. We've been sent. Now let's pray. Lord, thank You for a high calling. Thank You that we get to go to all nations. Thank You that having sent us, You then direct us. We want to gain a facility for hearing well. We want to grow in our heart's trust so that we're ready to hear as You speak. Increase our faith. Give us a bold faith to step out as we have hints of Your calling upon our lives. We trust You, we're honored to serve You, and we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.